Okay, good morning and good night, everybody. Today's daf is Kiddushin daf Mem. We left off on daf Nun, rather. We left off on daf Mem Tes Amud Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Tes Amud Beis. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lezeich Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha LaShalom. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi Shir. So the first thing we're going to talk about today is we're going to have another Mishnah that discusses where the man is Mekadish Nisha Almanas something, but he's misleading her either in one direction or the other. Either he's overselling himself or he's underselling himself. And in all the cases in our Mishnah, we're going to say Eina Mekadeshes, that the Kiddushin is not valid. The Gemara is going to then discuss five possible sources for the concept of Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. That if a person just says something, belay, we do not consider that to be of any value because we only know about things that actually happen in the real world, not that which a person claims was going on in their own mind or in their own heart. So we're going to figure out what is the source for that notion that dvarim shebelev are einam dvarim. Then the Gemara is going to talk about what if a guy sells his house almanas that he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael. So what's considered having gone to Eretz Yisrael? What if he starts the journey, doesn't make it? What if he makes it, but he can't make it there, he can't live there, and he has to come back? So do we assume that the sale of his house in Chutz La'aretz is a binding sale or not? Then the Mishnah on the middle of Amud Aleph, the first of the three Mishnayos on Amud Aleph, is going to talk about sending a shliach to a specific makom, both as far as Gittin are concerned and as far as Kiddushin are concerned. Meaning I say to the shliach, go be Mekadish Me'inisha in this place, or go be Megarish Nisha in this place. And the shliach ends up doing it, but somewhere else. So why is it necessary to tell me the same halachos, both by Gittin and Kiddushin? The Gemara is going to discuss. Then the next Mishnah is going to talk about if a woman turns out, your Mekadish Nisha, turns out she has nidarim that she has taken, or she has a lot of mumin, she has blemishes that you were unaware of previously. So what's the status as far as the marriage is concerned? Is there a Kiddushin, and what's the status as far as her rights to the ksuba are concerned? Is she entitled to the ksuba? Then the Mishnah on the very bottom of Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis, talks about if a person is Mekadesh Nisha with less than a Shava Pruta, but then he sends Sivlonos. Sivlonos are the extra gifts that Nuchasin would often send to a Kala. So he's Mekadesh Nisha, Bachs Mishava Pruta, but then he sends Sivlonos. So do we assume that the Sivlonos complete the Kiddushin? Because that's worth more than a Pruta, and that's going to lead us into a discussion in general, are we choshesh for Sivlonos? If we don't know of any Kiddushin that happened, but we do know that the man sent Sivlonos, do we assume that the Sivlonos themselves constitute the Kesef Kiddushin? And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis, we'll see if we get there, discusses anything that's Eino Bezeach Arzeach, Afilu Bebas Achas Eino, that if you can't have two things, if two Kiddushins, let's say, can't happen one after the other, well then we assume that they can't happen simultaneously either, and then neither of the Kiddushins will be Chal. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Mem Tes Amud Beis. So again, we're discussing cases where a man is Mekadesh Nisha Almanas, that he is something, and it turns out he's either overselling himself or underselling himself. So Almanas Shani Kohen, he says, Almanas that I'm a Kohen, Vinimtza Levi. Turns out he's not a Kohen, he's a Levi. Levi, Vinimtza Kohen. Or he says, Almanas that I'm a Levi, and it turns out that he's a Kohen. Or Nasin, Vinimtza Mamzer. He says, Almanas that I'm a Nasin, which is one of the Givonim, it's a Chisarin and a Zichus, and it turns out that he's a Mamzer. Or Mamzer v'nimtza nasin, vice versa. He says the Almanas Mamzer, and it turns out that he's a nasin. The assumption Rashi seems to have, both over here and previously on Amud Aleph, was that a nasin is better than a mamzer. So if you're Mekadesh Nisha al das that you're a mamzer, and it turns out that you're a nasin, that's a hatayo l'shvach. You undersold yourself. You're really better than you said you were. And afal pi kein, it's Eino Mekadeshes. Still, it's Eino Mekadeshes. The Me'iri, however, understands that no, it's the opposite. A mamzer is a maila over being a nasan, because a mamzer comes mitipa kshera. He comes at least from a kasher, a father, but a nasan does not. So if you're Mekadesh al dasa, you're a nasan, and it turns out you're a mamzer, that's atayel l'shvach. And that's what it sounds like from the gra. The gra na goes ha gra. Nos Aleph over here on the side of the page changes the girsa. He says Mamzer v'nimtza Nasin first, and then Nasin v'nimtza Mamzer. Not like the girsa that we have. because we first have the Hatoya L'Gnai in the order of all these Mishnayos, and then the Hatoya L'Shvach. So the Gra changes it that the Hatoya L'Gnai has to be Mamzer V'Nimtza Nasin, that that's the overselling of yourself, where you were really worse than you said you are. Anyway, so that's a discussion in the Rishonim. Similarly, the Mishnah goes on, Ben Ir V'Nimtza Ben Krach. He says he comes from a small city, but really he comes from a very large city, or Ben Krach V'Nimtza Ben Ir. Or he says he comes from a large city, and it turns out he comes from a small city. What difference does it make what kind of city you come from? Why is that L'Shvach, L'Gnai, anything? So Rashi writes that there's a chisaron in being a Ben Krach, because it's very hard to live in a big city, because there are a lot of markets and things are very expensive and it's very crowded, so people don't like living in the big city. They'd much rather live in the suburbs. So it's much better to be a Ben Ir than to be a Ben Krach. In Maseches Ksubas, Rashi adds that in a Krach, the houses are very close to each other, there's no air, but in Ir, there are ginos, there are pardesim. Like, he literally describes the difference between living in the city and living in the suburbs, and that living in the suburbs, any regular person, of course, would much prefer to live in the suburbs. So Shita Lanodalami says, why do so many people live in the city then? I mean, there are a lot of people that choose to live in the city. So he says there are milus and chesronos to each side. I mean, Rashi presents a very one-sided view that the suburbs are so much better than the city. Shita Lanodalami says, you know, the Bnei Akrachim are normally much, much more astute in their business dealings. They know how to deal with travel much easier. They know how to deal with transactions much, much more easily, because they're constantly working on things. And there are a lot of reasons to want to live in a big city. So some women prefer one way, others prefer the other way. The Marsha also says that Lule Divrei Rashi, Marsha says, I would have said that Yeshivas HaKrachim has a Maila, that the Gemara in Ksuba says that in a Krach, you could find anything in a Krach. Whatever you need is available. In an Ir, not so available, not so easy to find anything and everything, always. The Rashash explains the whole inyan entirely differently. He says, no, we're not talking about where the couple is going to live when they get married. The nidon over here is where this guy comes from. Does he come from a krach, or does he come from an Ir? Because there's a big difference between the type of people that were raised in an Ir and the type of people that were raised in a krach. And he says, we could prove it from the Lashon and the Mishnah, because first it has Kohen Velevi, then Nasun Mamzer, then Ben Ir, Ben Krach. And then it says Almanas, and it goes through three other Ta'uyos, Abayus Karav Lemarchatz, Bas or Shivcha, and Banim. And Lechora, the Mishnah should have said Ben Ir, Ben Krach in the second grouping that deals with monetary issues, not in the first grouping that deals with Yichus issues. Elamai says, the Rashash, that Ben Ir, Ben Krach is a Yichus issue. It's not about what their life is going to be, where they're going to be, how much money they're going to make. No, it's all about what his background is. It's about checking into what. So different people are different. You know, some in Shiduchim, there are people that I prefer an out of towner. Some people prefer people that grew up in a certain context, and others prefer people that have the qualities of those who grew up in a different context. So the Mishnah goes on. Almanas shebesi karuv lemerchatz v'nimtza rachok. He says almanas that my house will be close to a bathhouse, and it turns out it's far. Rachok v'nimtza karuv, or vice versa. Almanas yishlo basul shuvcha megudelas. Almanas that he has a daughter or a shivcha who can help out of the house, ve'einlo, and he doesn't have almanashe einlo v'yeshlo, or the vice versa, almanashe einlo banim v'yeshlo. He says almanashe doesn't have any children, but he does. Oh, almanashe yeshlo ve'einlo, or that he does have children and he doesn't. So in all those cases, the halacha is the woman is not mekudeshes; it's all a kiddushe ta'us. Ubekulam af pisha amra b'libi hayul iskadish lo afal pikein ena mekudeshes. In all those cases, even if the woman says after, afterwards, you know what? I don't care about any of those things. I want to spend the rest of my life with this man, and that's who I choose, and it doesn't matter to me. Afal pikein, it's eina mekudeshes. V'chein hi shehit atu. And the same is true if she had misled him, and the kiddushin would not be chal, even if afterwards the guy says, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I'm interested in being married to this woman. So now the Gemara discusses if a person was thinking certain things but didn't say them, do we view them as if they were stated? Dvarim shabalev. Do we view them as dvarim or not? So there was a guy that sold all of his nechasim, and his plan was to make aliyah to go to Eretz Yisrael. But at the time of the mechira, he didn't say why he was selling his house. He's just selling his house in a popular neighborhood in Chutz Laaretz. Now everyone's moving in. This guy's moving out. No one knows exactly why he's moving out. And then it turns out that he couldn't make aliyah. Something happened and fell through in his aliyah. And now he wants to be mevatel the mechira. And he says, look, I wasn't being mocher in my house in a popular from neighborhood for no reason. It was only because I thought I was going to make it to Eretz Yisrael. And it turns out I didn't. So Amarava, Rava says, Havitvarm Shabalev, that what your plans are in selling your house, if it was never stated, is just dvarim shablev. Dvarim shablev, and dvarim. And anything that is just going through your head is not going to be consequential. So you made a mechira, and that's a mechira, and that's final. There's nothing to do about it. Says Tosfos, Dibra Maskel dvarim shablev and dvarim. Mashma dafka mishum shlo pirish dvarav. Sounds like it's only because he didn't say anything. Avalim pirish dvarav lehed yivarim b'shas ha-mecher shu mochum lefi shu rotza lech l'tzar tzol hava mocher batel. Hava ha-mecher batel. But all he would have needed to do was to say something, to say, oh, I'm selling my house because I plan on making aliyah. And then the mecher would be batel. Says Tosos, that implication is hard to accept. That's all you need to do, just to mention that you're going to make aliyah. V'kosha, amai, habina t'nai kofel, v'arei lo hisna, she'im lo yelich, lo yizkayim ha-mechach. Doesn't every t'nai require what's called a t'nai kofel? You need to say that if I'm going to make aliyah, then the sale should be binding. If I don't make aliyah, then the sale, you have to spell out both sides of the t'nai. And even if the guy would have mentioned something, that doesn't imply a t'nai kafel. So the implication of this line of Gemara is difficult. So Tosfos Rashbam Pirish Gabei Esrog. It's the only reason I'm reading this Tosfos, really. I mean, it's a fundamental Tosfos, but Esrog comes up, in which, by the way, this is Memtes. It was the first day we took Esrog this year. But even if it was today's daf, it's still a pretty good daf yom coincidence. The Rashbam says, when it comes to an Esrog, al menas lahachzir, im chziru yatza, lo chziru lo yatza. That if he returns it, if he gives it a matana al menas lahachzir, if he returns it, then he was yotze, because then it was a shema matana. It says it was a fulfillment of lachem, that it belonged to him. And lo chziru lo yatza. And if he didn't return it, then you're not yotze. Av gav to be a tonight kafel, even though you need a tonight kafel, hani mili be iser could go to skatchli al mashtli masayim zuz v'chein beget iskin shmuel begit the shchiv mira avl b'mamon lo bein a tonight kafel. He says Rashbam resolves this issue by saying that the requirement of tonight kafel is only an iser v'heter, but when you're dealing with a tonight in dine mamonis, you don't need a tonight kafel. Says Tosos, I disagree, because the dinim of tonight are derived from b'nei gad b'nei ruvein. That was ultimately a dine mamonis issue about which parts of Eretz Yisrael they're going to receive. So that's a dinim mamonis issue, and yet you need a tanai kafel. We derive all the dinim of tanai from b'nei gad b'nei ruvein. So Tosfos suggests a different answer. He says that there are some things that require a tanai kafel. Then there are some things that it's kind of muchach that you're serious about it, even if you don't make a tanai kafel. So you don't need a tanai kafel. You need to mention it. Then there are other things that don't even need mentioning. It's just obvious. You buy a car, it turns out that it doesn't have an engine in it. So you didn't have to say, I'm buying this car on the Nas that it has an engine. Even without a tonight kafel, you don't have to say it. It's just understood that that's what it's supposed to be, that's what it's supposed to have. So there are things that require a tonight kafel, things that don't require a tonight kafel but require mentioning, and then there are things that don't require anything at all. And that's how Tosfos resolves the issue. So anyway, says Gemara, Minda Leila Ravaha. Where does Rava get this idea that Dvarim Shabalev are Enam Dvarim? If you're going to tell me it's from the following Mishnah that it says Yakriv Oso Melamit Shekofin Oso, when it comes to a carbon, the pasuk says Yakriv Oso, and that teaches us that if he's chayiv, we force him to bring the carbon. It says so because it already said Zachar Tam Yakrivenu. So Yakriv Oso is an extra phrase that teaches us that we force him. So Yachol Bal Karcha, you might think it's even against his will. So Tamalomar Liritzono. That's why the Hemshech of the pasuk says Liritzono. Well, Haketzad, how can we be kofa him if it's Liritzono? No, it's Kofin Oso Achiyomer Rotzani. We force him until he says, until he verbalizes Rotzani. Va'amai Habal. Why does it help if he says rotzani if we know that in his heart he's not interested in bringing the karban? So how is that a rotzani? It's because we don't care what's in his heart. We care what he says. And as long as he says rotzani, so that's good enough. So that's raya number one, that dvarim shebelev are einam dvarim. Says Gemara, nah, it's not a raya. Maybe in that case we know that even the dvarim shebelev are that he really wants it, because everyone wants to have a kapara and he needs his karban in order to receive a kapara. So you can't say that that the rotza ani is going against what's really deep down in his heart. The rotza ani is an expression of what's deep down in his heart, which is of course that he wants a kapara. So we need a different source for the concept of dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. Ela misefa, we derive from the seifa, that we find when it comes to a man who's achayev al pidin to give his wife a get or to be meshachar his eved, and he doesn't want to do it, so kofen also basin beats him up until he says that he wants to do it. And if he divorces her without saying rotzani, then the get is not valid. But why does it help that he says rotzani? We know he's been refusing this whole time, and that deep down in his heart he does not want to do it. Must be because dvarim shebelev are enam dvarim. So I don't care what's in his heart. I care what he says, and he says rotzani. Says Gemara, also not a great raya. Maybe we assume that deep down in his heart he really does want to give the get because he wants to be a good Jew, and a good Jew listens to the chachamim, and the chachamim told him that he's obligated to give a get. So that's why we assume that his real dvarim shebelev are exactly match the rotzani. So you can't prove from there that dvarim shebelev enam dvarim el amar Rav Yosef mehacha. So a third possibility of from where do we derive dvarim shebelev enam dvarim, and is a mishnah later on in this masecht on daf samach beis. Hamakadish is yisha va'amar k'savar yisi shi kohenes. A man is makadish a woman, and then after the kiddushin he says, you know, I thought she was a kohenes, and that's why I was makadish her. I thought I was marrying into such a miyuchastik family. Varehi levia. Turns out she's only a levia. Can you imagine my shock? You know, the first time I was with the shver in shul and Yomtov, and I see that he goes out to wash the hands of the Kohanim. I thought I was marrying a Kohen. I didn't realize that. Levia v'nimtzeis Kohanis. Or I thought she was a Levia. Turns out that she's a Kohanis. Ania v'arei Yashira. I thought she was poor. Turns out she's very wealthy. Yashira v'arei Ania. Or vice versa. In any case, Mekudashas m'nei shalowetatu. She never said that she's a Kohanis or a Levia. She never said she's an Ania or an Ashira. No one ever verbalized this. This was all only things that he was assuming, and he claims he was only Mekadish the Isha Almanas, that she's one way or the other. So then the Kiddushin is valid because she didn't fool him. She didn't say anything that's not true. But Vamai, Hakamar Ksavari Yisi. But why should the Kiddushin be valid? He's saying that in my heart, I didn't mean to be Mekadish a woman who's not a Kohenes. Elamisham Damrin, Dvarm Shablevin and Dvarm. It must be that this is Raya number three, the third possible source, that Dvarm Shablevin and Dvarm. I don't care what was in your heart. You didn't say it, and if you didn't say it, it's nothing. So I'm Le'abai, Dilmashain Yasam Dilachumra. No, maybe that's not such a great raya, because maybe over there the Kiddushin Zachal is only l'chumra, meaning you can't bring a raya from this mishnah that dvarim shebelev and dvarim. It could be that if the Mekadish would be trusted about what he's saying, the Kiddushin wouldn't be chal at all. But since we don't know if we should believe him that that's what was really in his heart, it could be at the time of the Kiddushin he had in mind to be Mekadish her regardless of what she is, and now he's having buyer's remorse. So we have to treat that Kiddushin as a Kiddushe Safik, that she's not Muteris Lekal until he gives her a get. But if someone else were to be Mekadish, or maybe she'd need a get from that guy also. Maybe, Taka, we do pay some attention to Dvarim Shebelev. We're just not sure that this was even his Dvarim Shebelev. But maybe if we knew Lu Yitzui, or if we were able to know that this was his Dvarim Shebelev, then Enochinami, maybe it would be consequential. Ella Amar Abayis. Abayis is a fourth possible source for Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim Mehacha, from the following, from our Mishnah. Bikulam, we said in all the cases where one misled the other, he was Mekadish Hadas, that he's a Kohen, turns out he's a Levi, or all those cases. Aval Bishamra, Belibi Hoyel is Kadish Lo Aval Bikain. Our Mishnah said that even if she says afterwards, I want to marry him no matter what, I was intending to marry him regardless, Eina Mekadishas. Vamai, Hakamra Belibi Hoyel, why is it Eina Mekadishas? She said I was interested in marrying him no matter what. So well, what happened to her claim that she wanted to marry him no matter what? Says, no, Vidilma Shaini Asim. Maybe in that case it's different, because if the husband made a tanai beferush that he's being Mekadish al-Banas, that he's a Kohen, And the woman heard that and never expressed, you know what? I don't care whether you're a Kohen or not. She never said that. So that's why if Dvarim Shebelev are considered, even if we generally do consider Dvarim Shebelev to be consequential, they're not powerful enough to be Oker a Tanai that was explicitly made by the Mekadesh. But maybe generally Dvarim Shebelev are powerful enough. Ela Amar Rav Chiya Bar Avin. So Rav Chiya Bar Avin says a fifth and final source for Dvarim Shebelev in Dvarim. Uvda Avabei Rav Chista. There was a story by Rav Chista. A person sold his Nechasim to go to Eretz Yisrael, but he didn't say at the time of the Mechira that he was planning on going to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Chista Bei Rav Huna. So Rav Chista went to the Beis Medrash of Rav Huna to discuss the matter with him. Should we consider this Dvarim Shebelev or not? Upashtu Ameha. And they were poshet from the following Mishnah in Meseches Me'ilah. Ha'omer L'shluch A man says, go bring me some money, and he gives him a place where to get it from the window, from a particular ledge somewhere, the Havilo, and the fellow brings him the money from there, and then they find out afterwards that it was hektish money. So even though the Balabais could say afterwards, the Mishaleach could say, I didn't mean the hektish bag of money, I meant a different bag of money that was also on that same windowsill in that same general location. Kibin Shevi Lo Mizeh, since the Shliach brought him from the right location, Balabais Mal. The Balabais is the one that's in violation of Mi'ila, and he has to return the money to Agdish and add an extra chomesh and bring a carbon Mi'ila, because the Shliach did his Shlichus that was of the Balabais, that the Balabais had sent him to do. V'amaya kamar b'libi, but why is the Balabais in violation of Mi'ila? After all, he's saying, I never intended for that. That wasn't the Shlichus that I intended to send him on. I didn't ask, I didn't mean to ask him for that. In my heart, I was asking for something else. Allah Misham Damrin and Dvarim Shebelev, Einam Dvarim. So you see, it must be that Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. So says the Gemara, V'dil Mashayin Yasam D'l Miftar Nafshei Mikarbon Kasi. No, that's not right either. It could be that in that case, the Balabais was going to lie in order to pater himself from a carbon. So that's why we don't believe him, what his Dvarim Shebelev are. Maybe in Echnami, Dvarim Shebelev are Dvarim. We just don't believe this guy that this was in fact his Dvarim Shebelev. He was just trying to get out of bringing a carbon Mi'ila. So he was saying that this wasn't really my Shlichus. Says Gemara, well, if he was trying to get out of a carbon, there are better ways to do that. He could have just said that I did it b'mezid. You don't bring a carbon if you do Mi'ila b'mezid. Says Gemara, no, that's not reasonable. Lo avinu shtemashu nafshi rishia. He would never have claimed that he was doing Mi'ila b'mezid, that he was misappropriating Hekdish funds b'mezid, because then he's turning himself into a Rasha. So it says, well, okay, but Havalei Lomar Niskarti. He could have said that I realized before he finished his Shlichus that I had accidentally asked him to bring Mi'ila money, to bring Hekdish money. Titania Niska Balabais Lo Niska Shliach Shliach Ma'al. Because there's a technicality that if the Balabais realizes before the Shliach does his Shlichus, then it's the Shliach that does Mi'ila. Then we assume that that ain't Shliach L'dvar Avera, even on Mi'ila in such cases. So if he really wanted to lie and get out of it, he had a better way to get out of it by just saying Niskarti. So the fact that he's saying that in my lave, I didn't mean it, so we assume he's telling the truth, and therefore it's a raya that Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim, that even though we assume he's telling the truth, what you say in your heart, what you were thinking in your heart, that's inconsequential. Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. There is some discussion in Poskim how far we take this principle of Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. I just mentioned in my sukkah the other night, we had an interesting shaila. A guy had someone call him an hour before Yom Kippur and said, look, I asked for mechila for anything I did for you this year. Specifically, remember, I was angry at you for a short period of time, so I spoke a lot of Lashon Hara about you behind your back during that time, and I feel really badly about it, so please forgive me. It was an hour before Yom Kippur, so he said, okay, I'm mechel. I'm not going to go into Yom Kippur with tainus. And all Yom Kippur, all he was thinking about was, really? He was speaking Lashon Hara about me this whole time? And, he couldn't get it out of his mind. And then after Yom Kippur, he realized, I am absolutely not mochel. He was his brother-in-law. He said, my brother-in-law is speaking Lashon Hara about me? That's how you treat family? He absolutely was not mochel. So he wants to know, does he have to go back and tell him, by the way, I'm not mochel? So it turns out that it's a machlokas haposkim, that it's a machlokas between Rav Itzel Petterberger and the Chazon Ish. Rav Itzel Petterberger says, what do you mean? It turns out he was not mochel. Of course he was mochel. He said he was mochel. And that's it. Dvarm shebelev. Oh, at the time that I said I was mochel, I really wasn't mochel belev shal. Dvarm shebelev. And I'm dvarm. You said you're mochel, and you're mochel. Right? You use this this principle. Chazanish says, no. That you can't apply dvarm shebelev, enim dvarim, when the entire kiyum is belev. Meaning, when do we say dvarm shebelev, enim dvarim? Is I do a transaction, and I say that during that transaction, I was thinking something else. So the dvarm shebelev don't override a transaction. But if the whole kiyum is belev, then we say dvarm shebelev is dvarim. Where does Chazanish get this from? It's Rabbi Kiveger based on the Ran. The Ran in Pesachim says that why is it that we have to do a bedika and a biur chametz? Just do bitul chametz. Why is bitul chametz not enough? So the Ran writes, because we're afraid that maybe the bitul is insincere. That you say you're being mevatel chametz, but really you have this very expensive chametz, and maybe you're not interested in being mevatel all your schnapps. So Rabbi Kiveger says, what do you mean maybe his bittul is insincere? If he says he's doing the bittul, dvarim shebelev, and dvarim, I don't care what he's thinking, as long as he says he's doing the bittul. Elamai says Rabbi Kiveger, bittul chametz is all about what's belev. When it's all about what's belev, then about an expression of what's belev, then dvarim shebelev have a dvarim. So it's a significant limitation on dvarim shebelev and dvarim. Dvarim shebelev and dvarim is only when there's a transaction, and I'm claiming in my heart I meant something else. But when there is when the whole thing is just an expression of what's belayv, so then dvarim shebelayv is taka dvarim. Okay, who governed the zabnim lichse adayt l'mesek l'aradi yisrael? The guy sold his property with the intention al das to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he, at the time of the mechira, he said specifically that that's what he plans on doing. Salik v'lo itarle. He went to Eretz Yisrael, but he wasn't matzliach there, and he didn't have a place to live. He didn't have food. He didn't have a livelihood. So he had to come back to Chutz Laaretz. Amar Rav Kolda salik adaita lemeidaru. Anyone who goes to Eretz Yisrael, it's al das, and he's able to live there. V'lo itarle, and he wasn't able to live there, and therefore the mechira is batel because the tenai of the mechira was that he'd be able to live there. Ikeda amri. Others say that Rava said that the mechira is not batel. Adaita lemesak, who was al das to go to Eretz Yisrael, v'hasalikle, and he went to Eretz Yisrael, so he fulfilled the tenai, and therefore the mechira is valid. Another meisa who governed the zamnin l'nichse adaita lemesak l'Eretz Yisrael l'sof lo salik. A guy sold his house on the nas to go to Eretz Yisrael, and then he had charata, and he didn't even go in the first place. So Ravashi ibay salik. If he wants, he could go, and therefore he doesn't have the ability to be mevatel the mechira just because he changed his mind and decided not to go. Nothing's preventing him from going. If he wants, is he unable to go? That was the expression that was used. That it's still up to him. I mean, it's the same basic point that it's still up to him to go. So it says, what difference does it make which expression you use to say, look, fellow, you can still go to Eretz Yisrael. It's up, you know, you can't just decide to be in Vatel Mechira because you don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So the chiluk between them is if there was some ikuv that prevented him from going. Like here, that there are listim on the road, and he's not able to go in the way that he wanted to go. So that's according to the first day. Since there's still a possibility to be tareach and to go up bishayara in a way that's more protected, so then the mechira is not going to be bottled. But according to the second day, the Ravashi said it rhetorically. V'chilo yuchalu lalos, is he unable to go? So then the mechira is kayim. The mechira is not going to be kayim unless he's able to go as easily as he was planning on going. So that's enough nafkamina between the two opinions. New Mishnah. This guy says, go be to a shliach, be mekadesh me and isha in a particular place. He went and he's mekadesh isha somewhere else. Ain't a mekadeshes. Hare he be mekom ploni v'kitchem makom acher. Hare is a mekadeshes. But if he just identifies, be mekadesh this isha for me, you can find her be mekom ploni. And then he went and he found her somewhere else. So then it is a valid kiddushin. Utran nami gabi gittin. We have a Mishnah by gittin. It says the same thing. Homer tenu get to the ishti b'makom ploni, give this get to my wife in this place, v'nasla b'makom acher, and he gives it to her somewhere else. Possible. The get is invalid. But if he just says, not give it to her in this place, but give it to her, and if you want to know where she is, harehi b'makom ploni, I know where she always hangs out, she's in b'makom ploni, v'nasla b'makom acher, and he gave it to somewhere else, kosher, then it's going to be kosher. So why do I need a mishnah in kiddushin and a mishnah in gittin to tell me the same basic thing? Utzricha, diash mi inan gabi kiddushin, if it only would have told me by kiddushin, I would have said b'makom delakorvakasi by kiddushin, where you're trying to connect with the woman and make her your wife. A person might insist on being in a certain place where people, where he has a good reputation and no one's going to speak ill of him. But in the other place, people will speak ill of him, and therefore he doesn't want the shliach to be makadisher in that place. But by gittin, where you're coming to distance yourself from her, say, I don't care what my reputation is in one place or the other, because it's not about, I'm not trying to impress her anymore, I'm trying to get rid of her. The yesh, meaning if the Tana would have told me, gabi gerish, and only in the situation of being megarish one's wife, that it's embarrassing to divorce his wife. So it could be that he's only willing to go through that bizayon in one place and out of the other place. But by kiddushin, he has nothing to be embarrassed about. He's very proud, so it doesn't bother him. So tzricha. Therefore, we need to be told the Mishnah in both situations. Next Mishnah. Hamakadish almanash ein alei nedarim v'nitzu alei nedarim ein amukadeshes. If he's makadish woman almanash that she doesn't have any nedarim on her record, and it turns out she does, ein amukadeshes kinsa stam v'nitzu alei nedarim. But if he's just makadish without any tanai, and then it turns out that she has nedarim, so then they're married, but teitzei shel b'ksuba. By virtue of the fact that she has nedarim, she loses the rights to ruksuba. So he could divorce her without having to pay her ksuba. Almanash ein alei woman. If he says explicitly it's almanas, he's being makadisher that she does not have any mumen, v'nintzu ba mumen, and it turns out that she does, and a mekadeshes, there's no kiddushin to speak of. But kinsa stam v'nintzu ba mumen, if he's makadisher stam, and it turns out that she has mumen, teitzei shel b'ksuba, that she's mekadeshes, but she doesn't have the rights to the ksuba. Any mum that would apostle a kohen from doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, which is listed in the 7th parak of Maseches Bechoros, exactly which mumin would apostle a kohen from doing the avodah would apostle a kiddushin as well. But other mumin are not ma'akev the kiddushin. Says the Gemara, Tanan nami gabi ksubas kei gavna. We have this Mishnah appears in Maseches Ksubas as well with the same halachos. So hacha kiddushin is shrich lev tanu ksubas ad kiddushin. It's mentioned over here, Maseches Kiddushin, because of the Chiddush of Kiddushin, because of the Dinim of Kiddushin, when it's an invalid Kiddushin, when it's a valid Kiddushin, and we mentioned Ksubas Atu Kiddushin. But Hasam Ksubas is Trichle over there, we mentioned it by Ksubas, the Tana Kiddushin Atu Ksubas. The reason we mentioned it in Maseches Ksubas is because there are Ksuba implications. When does she lose her Ksuba? And therefore we mentioned the Dinim of Kiddushin over there as well. So it's okay that this Mishnah is repeated in both places. Last Mishnah on the page, Hamakad on the Amar Aleph. At least, Hamakadish shtei nashim b'shava pruta. If a man is Makadish two women with a single shava pruta, so it's not a pruta for each; it's a pruta in total. O isha achas b'shava shava pruta, or one woman for less than the shava pruta. Avu pisha shalch sevlonos achar mikan. Even though he sent gifts after the kiddushin, ain't a makadeshes. She is not makadeshes. We do not assume that that the guy knows that the original kiddushin was not chal with pachs mishava pruta, and therefore these gifts are meant as Kesef Kiddushin. Shemach Kiddushin Arishonim Shalach. We assume that these gifts are a follow-up. It's because he assumes he's already married her that he's sending her these gifts, not because he assumes that these gifts are going to constitute Kesef Kiddushin. V'chein Katan Shekidesh. And the same is true if a Katan is Mekadesh, a woman, and then he sends Sivlonos after he becomes Bar Mitzvah. We assume that his intention is that he's already married her from the time he's a Katan, and these are just gifts, not that these gifts should be the kiddushin, and that he's aware of the fact that as a katan he could not affect kiddushin. Utsricha. So we really have three cases in the Mishnah. We have the case where he's makadish multiple women with one pruta, a case where he's makadish one woman with a pachas mishav pruta, and a case where he's makadisher as a katan. And in all three cases, even though he sends sivlonos afterwards, we assume ainu makadisha. So why do I need all three cases? The yashmin shavu pruta, if it only would have told me the case of using a shavu pruta to be makadish multiple women, I would think that it's reasonable to make the mistake of thinking that he did an act of kiddushin because he gave up a pruta. At least, that meaning, even though each woman didn't receive a pruta, he gave a shava pruta. So it's reasonable for him to make that assumption that there was some sort of kiddushin initially. But when he only gave a single woman less than a shava pruta, everybody's got to know that, you know, if you've ever been to a wedding, wedding, the Masada Kedushin always asks the Edim, does this look like it's worth a pruta? Everyone knows it's got to be worth a pruta. So if he didn't give up pruta, he must be aware that he doesn't have a Kedushin. And therefore, when he sends the Sevlonos, it's only Aldas that he's already married. It's only Aldas that he's not already married, and that these Sevlonos are the same Kedushin. That's what I would have assumed. And if it would have told me both of the first two cases, both the case where he's Mekadish multiple women with a Pruta, and the case where he's Mekadish one woman with a Pachs Mishav Pruta, and both of those cases, we assume he's unaware, and he thinks that he's actually Mekadish her. Mishum Tvei Pruta, Pachs Mishav Pruta, Lokim Lelinshi. Because maybe people can't easily tell the difference between something that's worth a Pruta and something that's not worth a Pruta. Avul Katan Shekidesh, but if he's a Katan when he's Mekadish Nisha, Hakol Yodin Shein Kiddush Katan Klum, everybody's got to know that there's no value to Kiddush Katan. So Ema Kika Meshadu Sevonos Zayt to the Kiddush Kameshader. So in such a case, I might assume that when he sends the Sevlonos afterwards, it's Aldas. It should be it's Aldas that should be the Kesef Kiddushin. So Kamashman, that's why the Mishnah tells me that even in that case, we assume that he thinks he's already married to her, and that the Sevlonos are not the Kesef Kiddushin. So we had said in the Mishnah that we don't think the Sevlonos are Kiddushin. So now we're going to discuss a related topic. What if there was no previous invalid Kiddushin? We just see that someone's sending Sevlonos. Do we assume that there's Kiddushin there? Itmar. Ravuna amar choshin l'sevlonos, v'chein amar rabbi choshin l'sevlonos. Person has shiduchin with a woman, so they're engaged, but he wasn't mekadisher yet, and then he sent her matanos in front of Edim. So we have to be choshesh that his intention is to be mekadisher with those matanos. And therefore, if after the kabbalah of matanos, she's miskadish to somebody else, you need a get from both parties. So Rabbi asks, I'm Rabbi Musfina Nashmaitin, I could ask on this din that I just said, because it says in our Mishnah that a person is Mekadish Nishul Pachs Mishav Pruta, Afal Pisha Shalach Sivlonos Lachar Mikan, Einam Kudeshes. That even though he sends Sivlonos afterwards, it's Einam Kudeshes. So don't you see that Sivlonos do not constitute Kiddushin? So Amle Abaye says, that's not a Raya. Hasam Kitakzami Taim, Shavach Kiddushin Rishonim Shalach. In our Mishnah, the reason the Sivlonos don't constitute a Kiddushin was because in his mind, she's already married to him. So of course he doesn't intend the Sivlonos as Kiddushin, because he thinks they already have a Kiddushin, because he already gave her the Pachs Mishav Pruta, he already gave her something when he was a Katan. He's relying on that. But absent that, maybe the Sevlonos would be a Kiddushin. Ikadami, in fact, some say that Rabbah said it the opposite, that Rama Rabbah Mina Aminala. What's my source that Sevlonos are a valid Kiddushin? That if a man just stam sends Sevlonos to his Meshudeches, that it's a valid Kiddushin? Kiddik Tani Taima, it's based on our Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, Shemachs Kiddushin Rishonim Shalach, that the only reason the Sevlonos in our Mishnah do not constitute Kiddushin is because it's relying on the previous Maisa Kiddushin that he thinks he did, but Hachu Detai, and that's why the Sevlonos don't work in this case. But Habi Alma, but in general, when you send Sevlonos, have a Kiddushin, then it is a valid Kiddushin. Says more of Abaye. Abaye would respond, Lo mi baye ka'amar. You can't prove anything from a Mishnah. It could be our Mishnah is written in the style of Ein Sarach Lomar. That Lo mi baye bi Alma, the Lo Nachas Torah's Kiddushin Klal. You don't even need to tell me that if you send a gift to your Meshudeches, that he doesn't have in mind at all that it should be the same Kiddushin. Even in this case, where he's already in the mindset of Kiddushin, I might think the Sevlonos are Kiddushin, Kamash Malan, that even in such a case, the Sevlonos are not Kiddushin, even though we know he's already in the mindset of Kiddushin, because he already tried to be Mekadosh with Pachs Mishav Pruta. So, my Havilah, how do we paskin? Are Sevlonos a valid form of Kiddushin, or not a valid form of Kiddushin? So, Amra Papa Basu de Mekadshi Vahadu Masabli, in a place where the Minig is to do Kiddushin first, and then to send Sevlonos, Cheshina. Then we're Choshesh, that he's intending to be Mekadosh with these Matanos, because he's not trying to be Meshanan from the Minig HaMakom. So, whatever he's sending her is the Kiddushin, because in his place, Kiddushin comes first. You don't send gifts before Kiddushin. So it must be, if he's sending these gifts, he's intending to do Kiddushin. But Mesadli Vadim Mekachi, but in a place where the minig is that they send the Sevlonos and then they do the Kiddushin, lo cheshin. Then we don't think that this is a valid Kiddushin. He's just doing the pre-Kiddushin Sevlonos. Well, if it's a makom where they do kiddushin before the savlanos, obviously it's this is meant as kiddushin. So in the case of deruba mekachi vadim savli mutim savli vadim mekachi, most people are mekadish and then send savlanos, and a minority of people will send savlanos first. So ma d'temin echshul miyuta, I might think we should be choshesh that he's just sending this as savlanos and not as kiddushin, and he's just including himself in the minority. Come ashmalan. So it comes to tell me that no, he's including himself in the majority, and therefore we do view it as kiddushin. If Edom see a person has a shtark suba with a woman's name on it, do we learn from there that she must be mekudeshes to him? Because a guy's holding shtark suba, we're going to assume that the woman is an eshes ish. So my havila, how do we paskin in such a case? If it's a place where the minig is that you're mekadesh woman first and then you write the ksuba, we have to be choshesh that she's mukdeshes because he has a ksuba. How did they get the ksuba if they didn't go through step one yet? But kashi v'adur mekadesh, if the minug in the place is that they first write a ksuba, then they're mekadesh the woman, then lo chashin, and then you don't have to assume that there's any kiddushin over here. So it says more mekadesh v'adur kashi pshita. Well, in a place where they do the kiddushin first and then they write the ksuba, of course you have to be choshesh that there's a kiddushin over here. How else does he have a ksuba? What else would you assume if that's what everybody does? So it says more lo tzricha to lo shiach safra. Could be that there's no sofa readily available where they live. So Maldutema Safra with this Rami. I might have thought that maybe he didn't do the Kiddushin yet, but he ran into a sofa. So he said, oh, let me get a ksuba written now, even before the Kiddushin, so I'll have it ready for when I do get married. So Kamashmalan, that's why it has to tell me that no, that we don't assume that he had a hard time finding a sofa. We assume that he followed the standard protocol, which is to do Kiddushin first, then to write the ksuba, and therefore if he's got a ksuba in hand, then there must have been a Kiddushin. Okay, but from tomorrow we will pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Nun Amud Beis. Guten Mayed, everybody. Yeah.